Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I'm Todd Wilson, Director of Exponential. We're thrilled you're taking advantage of this free resource that was recorded at the Exponential Conference. It's part of a library of hundreds of hours of free training. In our mission to equip church planning leaders, we seek to distribute as many free resources as possible. Visit exponential.org to learn more and to check out the programming for the upcoming Exponential Conference.
That's great. So we figured out how to be our own tech team. So that's what you love about working in a church, right? You get to be incredibly versatile. So we're going to talk about volunteering and how to recruit and retain volunteers. And as probably all of you know, in the world of working in churches and volunteering in churches, we all get to wear many, many hats. So probably one of the things I'm least good at is all the technical stuff. So I always love when I'm in a room and they're giving me instructions on how to run all the technology. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's why I recruit people on my teams who are great at that. So we're going to co-teach this. I'm Shelley Jeskowitz. I'm one of the pastors on staff at Mariners Church. I oversee leadership development for our campuses. And then I also work with our discipleship ministry, which I work with it outside of our church. So there's churches around the nation who use that discipleship model. We're going to touch on that a little bit, and I'm happy to talk to anybody about that more afterward, because it's a model that we actually use as part of our volunteer strategy. And then, Tricia, will you introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Tricia Graves, and I'm the pastor of Community Life here. And before that, I spent 20 years in children's and family ministry here at Mariners. And so a lot of this comes from experience of being in children's, but then also now transferring some of those over to our community life and groups ministry that I'm now involved in. So we've both been here for a while and have gotten to experience the different stages of Mariners Church, but we're excited to be with you guys and something that we're super passionate about. So excited to learn from you and hear from you as well.
Great, thank you. So I think one of the great ways to start talking about volunteering, I know for myself, and I think for Tricia also, we both found our way into the church because there were great leaders that went before us. So when you think of your life, who are the great leaders that have been in your life? Where in your life have you been developed intentionally? So this is where you get to participate with us. You know, where have you been developed? Who is someone who had an influence in your life? Maybe it's the reason you got into ministry. Or maybe because you didn't have this in your life, you got into ministry. So there's a big hole here, right? Anybody?
I should just share because I'm halfway into ministry.
Halfway? Okay, explain
I'm a speech language pathologist.
Okay.
And over the last 5 years, becoming more involved in church, I felt being called to maybe completely change my career. And so someone intentionally discipled me as a leader, mm-hmm. and it was a woman in women's ministry, and mm-hmm. she decided to run a women's leadership discipleship class.
Awesome. Wonderful.
It really helped me focus in on where am I wanting to go, and that ultimately has led me to just to do an internship with the church, which uh-huh. is going to end up being probably positioned within the church and going back to school.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
It was a very intentional mm-hmm. Part of church leadership.
Wonderful. I wish it was always like that, right? What about the rest of you? Who is someone who intentionally developed you? So y'all are just like self-taught, amazing leaders. So you guys, we have to write a book together, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. I actually stepped in her position.
Wow.
18 years ago, and ever since then, I've been serving and working in church.
That's wonderful. Having someone to follow, to walk alongside, follow them, and then to fall into their footsteps, that's wonderful. Anybody else? Yeah.
I'm probably a bit more unique, as I was telling you. There are too many people to name it, because mm-hmm. we've done this half circle.
I love that.
I was born in Ohio. My husband attended seminary after marriage, changed his career choice after his bachelor's to Gettysburg, then First Call in North Carolina, and now we're in Texas. I told him the circle stops there. But it's just, I grew up attending a Presbyterian church. He is Lutheran. Mm-hmm. So I switched over to his churches, but just the different groups. I'm in a lot of the music groups, the choirs, the bell choirs. I started with these women groups, the women of the LCA in North Carolina. So I ended up on the board there for the Synod. I'm on the board now for Texas a year in. And
so you're a leader of leaders.
I'm trying to be. This is That's outside great. my comfort zone. Yeah. So yeah. I'm trying to work. I'm shaking now. but it's just all kinds of people. It's just anywhere you go, someone's going to be there to show you what you can do.
Well, and what I love about what you're saying is you have a learning spirit. And I think for all of us, as we're looking to develop leaders, we're looking for people who have that same learning spirit. Because it's easy to develop someone who wants to be developed. One more. You had your hand up over there. What about you?
Oh, I was just going to mention nothing with the church, but in a varsity.
Uh-huh.
Very big on discipleship and being intentionally developed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be, who I am, saved also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some great models outside of the church that really rely on leadership development that we can take best practices from. I'm sure you do this, and we bring that into the church. So for me, it's kind of fun. A couple of you mentioned women's ministries. When I was new to this church and didn't know anyone, I signed up for a women's retreat. And I still to this day look back and go, I can't believe I did this. I didn't know anyone. I did not have a Bible. I bought a Bible at the retreat like store, thinking that probably be a good thing to have at a women's retreat. And I sat next to a woman. I had no idea who she was. And I introduced myself to her. And I was so graceful. I said, hi, I'm Shelley. I'm new to the church. And I don't know anyone here. And she just looked at me. And this is the women's pastor of this church. And she's like, oh, well, it's great to meet you. And I have been in leadership, I think, since that day forward. I have been involved in the church. But she did a phenomenal job of getting to know me, of building relationship with me, creating space for me to grow spiritually, and then creating space for me to grow into leadership positions. And I still remember many of the things that she taught me, and they're things that I pass on. And so as Tricia and I were preparing for this, we're going to walk you through one of the methods that both Tricia and I have been taught. I learned it at Mariners. I'm assuming you learned it at Mariners as well, and it's called the funnel. And it's just really an intentional strategy in leadership development. And so what we really want to accomplish in the time that we have together is to look at what does it look like to create a healthy process of intentional leadership development to ensure ministry happens beyond you. We all at one day need to not be in the positions we're in. Sometimes that's because God puts us in new positions, and that's happened to both Tricia and I multiple times. You want to have people to pick up and move on what you love and what you know God used you to birth. And sometimes, someday, we all are probably going to leave and retire. And so you want to make sure that you have succession plans and intentional plans of developing leaders, whether that's a volunteer leader, which is mostly what we're talking about today, or staff leaders. It falls into both camps. And both Tricia and I have developed very large volunteer teams and very large staff teams, both. We want to be able to discuss how to build your strategy around your mission strategy. They need to be in alignment, and they need to be able to work together. And then many of you have great experiences, and so we want to share those together as well. So in the following passages, we're going to look at two passages that probably are familiar to you. Let's just look at what do we learn about in these passages about developing people, what do we learn about volunteers, and what is our role? So can you guys all see these passages? These are Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what do we learn in there about developing people and our role? Super simple passage. You've probably seen it many times. But what sticks out at you as we think about that role that we have in developing volunteers? Yeah. We need to equip people, right? And what are we equipping them to do? For services, right? For the things that they're to do. So what is our role when we look at that? Our role is to be the equipper. And I think often when we look at church, we find ourselves as the doer. as opposed to the equipper. And I'm a much better equipper, and I can be a very frustrated doer because there's too many things for me to do. And so as I look at this passage, you know, God wants to equip his people to serve. And so every person has a role, has a place, has a gift that he wants to use them for. And I think the challenge we have is uncovering what are those places? What do those gifts look like? And quite frankly, it's not always in the church. And if you're a children's pastor, you're going to end up sometimes with someone that is going to serve or volunteer with you for the first time, but they actually belong in a totally different area of ministry. And so we want to help them find, looking at their gifts and their talents, where it is that God would have them go. The second passage, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So what's in that passage for us as equippers, as pastors and leaders, when we look at others? What is that passage telling us about developing people? Yeah, you got to pass it on, right? Mm-hmm. Pass on your DNA. Pass on the DNA of your church. Do you know the DNA of your church? To pass it on. Maybe that hasn't been clarified and you want to help clarify it so you can pass it on. We've had a lot of conversations about that. We love this about our church, but wait, what is it we love? And how do we pass it on so that it lives in the next generation? What else do we see in that passage?
They have to be reliable people.
They have to be reliable people. Why is that important? What happens when we entrust ministry to unreliable people? Has anybody ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
With a sigh, we all go, yep, we've done that. Reliable people. And there's an art to figuring out, really, how much can we give to people and when? And Trisha's going to talk about that in a minute. Anything else?
He says to entrust it to reliable people, also be qualified to teach others.
Yes.
So we don't want to just trust one person and then it dies with them. That's worse.
Which again, I think that, what does that point to? It's the vision of constantly, you know, saying things and having the vision and the DNA of what we're doing and the why we're doing it. And I think, you know, it's, to me, that passage so much speaks to the why more than the what. We need to look at the why more than the what. So we really need to start and ask ourselves the question, you know, do we know who we are as a leader? I need to know who I am, what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, because that influences part of how I build a team. If I don't know who I am, it impacts my ability to build a healthy team. So I was laughing just before this. I was on the patio over with a coordinator that's on my team. She is an extreme extrovert. I'm an introvert. Now, I can stand up here and I can do this, and people don't think that I'm an introvert, but to go stand on the patio and give out bundt cakes and talk to people I don't know, which is what I was just doing before here, I'm like, Lizzie, I really got to go. I think Trisha needs me, and she's laughing at me. But I know when I put together my staff team, I know I'm more an introvert than an extrovert. I know I have to surround myself with people who are different than me to do some of the things that are needed in my ministry. Next thing we need to ask ourselves is, do we know the mission, vision, and values of our church? Because that's really the heart of what we're equipping the saints to do, right? We're equipping them to do the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church should always be centered around the alignment of who we are as a church. I don't want to equip and design ministry, volunteers, and leaders around something that the church is not about. So I always am talking about our vision, statements, our DNA, this is how we do it, this is how we do it, and I'm always giving the why, because the why is the vision of it, and it's always around the values, because when I recruit and train leaders around that, it gives them better tools to succeed. And then what's on the horizon that might impact the team you're building? Where are you going, and what are you trying to do? So Trisha's going to start talking about the funnel.
So as we look at our inverted triangle, this is the model that we use, and this is the wide end of the funnel. And so if you think of the first stage, we're talking about expose. And we want to expose our people to ministry, to what ministry looks like. And I love even how we've built some of our buildings and some of the values that went into even planning this building. Our senior pastor wanted to make sure there were plenty of windows. And I love that because he wanted to make sure that people could see ministry happen. Because there's nothing more beautiful than to be able to watch ministry happening in your church. And so we want to give that opportunity to people that are just putting their feet in the water and to learn about volunteering, to step in for the first time. And so maybe some of you are churchers starting a new church, or some of you are leading different ministries. How do we expose our volunteers that are just stepping into ministry to community? How do they see what it looks like to volunteer, to be in a room with other people serving for the same purpose? I was even thinking back when I was a volunteer. I started out serving in children's ministry. I laugh because actually my first role serving in children's ministry here at Mariners, I was one of those flaky volunteers. I had signed up because I love working with kids, and I had signed up to help do crafts because I like doing some of that creative craft stuff. The job that they actually put me in was I had to go and take the bin of crafts, put some things in there, and then go and deliver it to the room, drop it off, and then when service was over, go back and pick up the bin and put it back and sort all the supplies. So to me, that was not at all what I enjoyed doing. I didn't get to be exposed to the ministry. I wanted to be with the kids. I got into it because I wanted to be in the kids. With the kids. I got into it because I wanted to kind of use some of my creative gifts, but no one ever really talked to me about that. So at about week 3, I was one of those flaky volunteers. I didn't show up. I was just like, I don't like doing this. I don't want to do it anymore. And I didn't get involved again until somebody else asked me, what's going on? We really wanted you to volunteer. You know, tell us about like why you didn't like that job. So I love that example of, you know, exposing people to community, exposing people to ministry. Also, we want to expose people to different doors of entry points into your ministry. And I think this is important because oftentimes, I know like in children's ministry, when I first started, there was one way to volunteer, and that was to be a Sunday school teacher, to be put in a room and to teach the Bible, to do worship, to do a craft, to do all this stuff. And I remember at the time looking over at women's ministry and going, how come they have so many volunteers? How come they have all these women doing all these huge things in the ministry? And I think a huge part of what the issue was in children's ministry at the time was there was only one door to volunteer. There was only one door of entry into the ministry. And so as you think of your ministries, are there many different doors for people to get involved in your ministry? Are there ways that maybe they can volunteer one time? Or once a month, or maybe try out something for the special event. As we used to talk a lot in children's ministry about our one-time event volunteers. They might come to help at Christmas Eve, or they might come on an Easter, or some other events that we have. We wanted to make sure that anytime they came for one of those like first-time experiences, that they experienced success. And so we didn't want to put them in a situation where they couldn't be successful. And so how do we help those one-time volunteers have a really successful experience volunteering so that they want to come back? And where are there different ways for them to jump in? Now, where it was before in children's ministry, you had to volunteer, and you volunteered for 12 months every week as a Sunday school teacher. And so we were only getting some really committed people, but we weren't attracting all different types of people that wanted to serve in varying degrees. And so how are we asking people to volunteer in different opportunities? The other thing that I think is so important is, and when you do some of those different doors with different commitments to serve, don't turn people away. I think that's one of the things, we were talking about this the other day, we just did this big push for fall kickoff volunteers and had people text in to serve. And then I was talking to somebody, I'm like, okay, now we have to like use those volunteers. You don't, if someone comes to you and says, I want to, you know, volunteer, and you're like, oh, I really don't have anything for you right now, you know, what's the chances they're going to come back? And so always having different ways for them to jump in. Maybe at first it's doing something administrative. Maybe it's doing something to help you on an event. But what are the many different ways that they can jump in? And how do you help them to be successful and feel needed that one time so that they have a great experience? Sometimes we would get a lot of people that would show up to help Christmas Eve. And so we would always have these other jobs that they could do that maybe it wasn't totally necessary, but they got to experience ministry. They got to be side by side with some of our amazing volunteers. And so they got to experience what it looked like to volunteer. The other thing is we want to make sure that during this exposed stage, we want to help them discover what their gifts and passions are. And I think a lot of times there's people that come to us that don't know yet what they're gifted in, what they're passionate about. I love the story of a gal who volunteered. Her name was Kathleen, and she volunteered in children's ministry. And she said, I will come and do the setup. She was really shy, and so she showed up every Saturday night, 2 hours before the service started, and set up all the rooms, got all the attendance sheets out, all the name tags, all of that. And she did that for almost 2 years. And she was extremely faithful. She loved being behind the scenes, and she was great at that. Then one night we needed a small group leader, and so we were like, Kathleen, would you wanna, you know, step into this role? And she's like, okay, all right, I'm kind of nervous, but we put someone with her. It's so much fun. So then in the future, or that next week, she was like, okay, I want to come and set up, but then I also want to do a small group as well. And so I love that it took her 2 years, but I love that we get to give people different opportunities to figure out what they are gifted at, what they enjoy doing, what are their passions. And during that this exposed stage, we want to provide ample opportunities to do that and be partnered with some other people that really do know how to get the help people discover what their gifts and passions are. And so if you think about it, if you could build a volunteer dream team, what would that look like? Maybe you're going into a building. Maybe you're just launching a new ministry. Maybe you're in a new season of ministry. And if you think about what are some of the issues that you're facing that might be an opportunity to get some volunteers involved that maybe you wouldn't think of. And I love this little illustration. It's kind of hard to see, but these are all different jars of a consultant, a writer, an analyst, an HR expert, a star performer, someone who's a recruiter, someone who does research, a marketer, a jack of all trades, an accountant. And I love this, and I've looked at this many times during my ministry seasons, of thinking, who are people that I need to get engaged in ministry right now that aren't currently engaged? We were just talking about our life group strategy and really recognizing that we talk a lot about Rooted, which is one of our big discipleship curriculum and program that we do, ministry program. But we were talking about life groups and saying not a lot of the people in our church talk about life groups. And so one of the things we were talking about was how do we get some people involved who really can help us be great at marketing life groups and really getting the word out? How can we get some trainers to help us do some training with some of our life group leaders? And so if you think about some of the ministry seasons that you're going into, what are some people or who are some people that you could get involved that maybe you currently don't have involved in your ministry? Think outside the box that maybe there's some people in your church that have some amazing gifts that haven't even been able to serve before because they don't quite know where they can jump in. And so these are great ways to think about how we can expose different types of people with different gifts into a ministry.
This is one of my favorite things to talk about. I love the subject of scarcity versus abundance. So what are some of the challenges in getting the volunteers that you...
Commitment.
What else? So we get to participate and learn from one another. Trisha and I have already had this talk.
Them to have like a passion instead of just because they feel like they should do it.
So passion rather than obligation.
Their time is precious.
Their time is precious. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in ministry we can fall into a mentality of scarcity. And so I think as pastors or as leaders, you know, we vacillate between these places of scarcity and abundance. Sometimes I'm operating in abundance. I believe that God will provide everything that I need. There's going to be more than enough volunteers. It's going to work wonderfully. They're going to do a great job. And sometimes I fall into scarcity. They never show up on time. They don't do it right. They're not going to be here. It's easier if I do it myself. You know, it's always interesting. A lot of my ability to attract leaders is dependent upon how I show up. And so a lot of times I have to check on how am I showing up to lead the people, and especially if it's those first-time leaders, first and second-time leaders, when they're in that beginning stages, how am I showing up to lead them? And I really want to think with the mentality of abundance, that God does give every person gifts, that God wants to use all of the body, that God does not want me to be weary, worn out, exhausted because I do it all myself. And I think sometimes as leaders and pastors, we can wear that as a badge of honor. Like, I did so much. I used to have a person on my team, and I literally, it got to the point where I didn't even want to, like, talk to them, because all they would tell me all the time was how much they did for the church. And sometimes we'd have volunteers, the same thing. You're like, oh, that's just coming from this mentality of scarcity, of not entrusting ministry to others. And so I think whenever we're having a problem with volunteers, and whether it's in recruiting them, retaining them, training them, and wherever you are in the funnel with volunteers, sometimes we get stuck in a place and we have to stop and look at where are we at and how are we approaching it? Are we approaching it with the heart of abundance? And so sometimes I can even do some pretty silly things in looking for volunteers. And literally, I have many prayers that go like this. Okay, God. So you know we have to do these 27 new things, because I think in our world it's always like, there's never one new thing. There's like 20 new things, and they're usually all at once. And I can't do them. And so I need, you know, I need 10 volunteers to do this. I need this many volunteers to do that. We needed 100 volunteers to serve at Exponential. Where am I going to find 100 volunteers? Okay, I need 100 volunteers. I put something in the bulletin. That weekend, they decided not to print the church bulletin. They went to a new communication strategy. Anybody ever been there? Like, great. Then there's like 2 weeks later, when the bulletin shows up again, which is literally like 2 weeks ago, the thing that was supposed to be in the bulletin for volunteers wasn't there. So I'm like, okay, so basically I have more than enough in the church, but I've had no way to communicate with them. So it'd be really easy to go to scarcity and get really mad at a lot of people I work with. But I chose to pray. And so you sit there and go, okay, I'm going to believe that God's going to bring the volunteers that I need. Now, I can't sit by myself in my office and just pray that. I mean, I suppose there's a chance they might show up, but probably I get to pray and trust that God's going to meet the need. And so as in that example, you know, I went over to Trisha. I'm like, hey, we need some help. So through the Community Life team, can we put out some emails into all of adult ministries looking for volunteers? And it was great. Then as soon as that went out, people just started coming. You know, the names just started coming forward. It's really easy, I think, in ministry to stay in this thing of scarcity where it's not going to work, instead of living in the abundance of knowing that it's going to work. It might not work exactly how you want, but let's trust that God's got it and he's with us in it. And the way we show up in trusting him is a lot in how we need to lead our leaders. And it's what we need to teach them, right? How I show up with my leaders is a big reflection on the church overall. And I want them, if I want them to trust in the Lord and what we're called to do, I have to model that for them.
All right. So now that we've exposed people to the ministry, our next goal would be that we want to unfold them. So here's the wide end of the funnel. You've got lots of people trying different roles to serve, different opportunities, different gifts. But at some point, you can't run your ministries or church all on this level of volunteers, right? You need to begin to unfold them. And so we want to make sure that we recognize just how important it is that everybody has something to offer. As Shelley was talking about, there's people that have all sorts of gifts that can be a part of the works that God has in store for you. And so we want to next help them to be enfolded into a ministry. We want to help them to see their part in their role in the story. And I love this because I think oftentimes we have people doing different parts of their job, but then they forget about the bigger picture of why they're there. And as leaders, we get to have that opportunity to remind them, to share stories about how their particular role matters. I love this guy had volunteered to help greet during fall kickoff. And I loved it because he said, you know, I was supposed to be singing in the choir that day, but I met a gal who had told me she had been to 3 other churches and came back to Mariners because she was so warmly greeted. And he goes, you know, all the other times I thought like I was making this huge difference doing these other things, and I was reminded of just the friendly face and the welcoming attitude on the patio helped to have this woman stick and stay at our church. And so I love that he shared that with all of the rest of the people that were greeting and reminded them of the role that they play standing out and welcoming people when they come to church, when they step on our campus. And so we need to make sure we're finding stories to help them see the part, their part and the impact that they're making. We also get to enfold them into ministry to help create a sense of belonging. We want them to feel a part of a group, of the community, of the ministry that you all are running. And so how do we do that? We want to make sure that there's some events outside of serving. And we want to make sure that we're connecting with them beyond what they're doing on a Sunday morning or Saturday night. I love some of the things that we've done. We've done these soup parties where we get together with some of our leaders and all of the staff make different kinds of soup and bake all these yummy breads, and I would open my home up and so volunteers could come and socialize. They felt like they were a part of something bigger that went beyond just what they did, but they felt like they were a part of something and they belonged to a group. I love like t-shirts do that sometimes. Everybody wearing their junior high t-shirts, or everybody wearing, I love even like when I see all of our tech team wearing their t-shirts. They feel and they identify with the ministry that they're serving in. And so we want to help create that sense of belonging. I know for our church that's a big church, that's super important. But for all of the different ministries that you're involved in, what does that look like? How do they feel like they're a part of a bigger picture? How do they feel like they're a part of and belong to a group? I love seeing our greeters on the mornings that they serve. They come early and they do a little huddle together. And they talk about some things that they need to know, but then they also pray. They also share what's going on in their life. They pray for one another. And then what I love is throughout the morning, I see conversations taking place between people. How are you doing since your wife died? How's that job transition going? Are you providing enough opportunities for them to create community and be enfolded into the group beyond just serving? And then the other thing is we want them to serve in community. We want them to feel like they're known and that they're needed beyond just the tasks. And I think these days it's so easy to schedule people to volunteer, to text people, to email. But I think what I'm recognizing is a lot of that individual relationship is getting lost. When's the last time you picked up a phone, your phone and just called and had a conversation with a volunteer and just asked them, how's it going? Gosh, you know what? I haven't seen you the past couple weeks. Is everything okay? Hey, I know that you guys were moving in a new place. You know, how'd that go? Are you feeling settled? But what things are you doing to invest time in the volunteers that God's given you? Are you spending time with them outside of serving? Are you having coffee with them? Are you getting to know them? Are you communicating with them beyond just the emails and texts? The other day, Shelley mentioned we've just had some transition. So I went from leading a team for like 20 years in children's and family to a new team in community life. And I'm finding like right now that is so important. And sometimes that doesn't come easy for me because I like to get things done and get on with the tasks and all the things we've got going on. But I realized how important just those individual conversations are. The other day we had a department meeting and I just changed it to meet over at the beach. And just that little bit of change, we had breakfast and we talked and just some extra hangout time really made a difference. And so there are certain seasons too where you need to make sure you're allowing for more relational time instead of just the tasks, especially as you're going through change, especially if there's been some transition or you're facing a season that's really intense. That interpersonal, those relationships, those conversations with your volunteers are so important as you pull them along with the things that God's calling you to do. And as we talk about enfolding people, I know we talk about getting to know them, but these are just some great questions asking to ask your volunteers. Hey, I was thinking about you. Tell me, what is it that you wake up like excited about? Why do you enjoy volunteering? When you're up at night and you can't sleep, what are things that you're just dissatisfied with? What personal experiences have shaped you into who you are today? And I love hearing that, because oftentimes you will hear people's stories and you'll understand why they're volunteering in the roles that they are. Or sometimes you might hear something and be like, you know what? I think you would be great in this ministry. And I love that we get to sometimes even help people be enfolded in a different ministry than our own. And that's that abundant scarcity. I think sometimes we hold on to our volunteers so tightly that we forget, hey, maybe there's something in that person's life or in their story that maybe they would be better serving in a different area. And when we get to know what their passions and gifts are, we can help enfold them into a different area that might be more advantageous for them.
So I love, as we look at expose, enfold, and now we move to engage. You know, the great thing about a funnel, you know, it gets narrower as you go down, right? So at this stage, as it starts to get narrowing in here, we start to see some different things that happen. Anybody, you know, the whole church is up here at the top. And so part of our ministry strategy as a church is to equip all of our people. All of our people to find what it is that God has for them. Where should they be serving? What are their gifts? And how do they use them for the glory of the kingdom? So our mission statement as a church is to inspire people to love Jesus and change the world. So I love that because it's broad enough. It has a lot going on, right? So part of it's on us to create an environment for them to grow in their relationship with the Lord, that they would want to do something for the kingdom of God. And so as we look at those some things, all of us have those things for them to do, right? It's on the church campuses, it's in week, it's in adult ministries, it's in children's ministry. There's, you know, hundreds and probably thousands of jobs on church campuses. If you're on a big campus like this, there's more than that out in the community and even more in the world. And so part of what we do as part of our exposed strategy, which Tricia alluded to, is we have a discipleship program called Rooted. And in Rooted, at week 6 and 7, every group serves. And in that serve experience, it allows their leader to help them understand what their gifts are and what they're good at. And so I love that. Is I'm leading a group right now, and in 2 weeks we're going to serve, and we're going to serve the homeless. And I know not everyone in my group is going to love that. I know some of my people are going to love it so much, they're going to say, we have to do this every week. And I know there's another group in there that's going to be like, okay, I'm glad that's over. And so the ones that are like, we have to do that every week, immediately what I learned about them is I know exactly where I need to point them. I need to point them to our outreach ministries because they do that every week. And the ones that kind of like hesitate and pull back, as I start talking to them and engaging and seeing as their leader, what their gifts are, what they enjoy, I'm then looking and pointing them to places that they can enfold into ministry opportunities. So whether that's in children's ministries, or maybe that's leading a home group, or maybe that's serving in a local school. But so when we're up here at the top, you know, we're creating a space for everyone. And so kind of our on-ramping strategy into serving at Mariners starts with what we say to everyone: you're new to Mariners, you're rooted. Well, why? Because it's going to teach you who we are, what we do, and how we do it. It's going to be the first step into getting in community, because we want you to be in community with other believers. And then as a part of that, so that's one part of our strategy, that's how we onboard people into community, but it's also plays out when you get into the middle of it of how we help equip people, enfold and engage them into ministry, because they have a leader that's very intentionally working and helping them see their gifts and seeing the needs. It amazes me how many people have no idea how many volunteers it takes for us all to run our churches. And they just think, like, we just got it all, right? We have everything. We just sit around and read the Bible all day, and life's grand. So as we move into engaging, we're starting to see the people who started up here, everyone. Now we're getting down here. We're starting to find where the leaders are emerging. Where are the leaders? Every person can volunteer. Not every person's called to be a leader. We're not all leaders. But we want to have a way that we can, in our strategy, expose and enfold people to get them to the point where we're ready to figure out, if we do think that they are a leader, where to place them and move them as leaders into ministry. So as we look at engaging them, we're looking, you know, what are their passions and what are their experiences and what are their gifts and skills. You know, the easy thing, scarcity in ministry is, I need a body, you're a body, I need to put you there. But abundance says, tell me your story. What are you passionate about? What are your life experiences do you have? What are your gifts and skills? So then as I start to get to know people more at a deeper level, I can then look for this sweet spot and discover where I think God's really calling them. Because God has a very specific place for them, I believe. Now, we all can do many things, but I think there's those special places that he has planned for us, purposed for us ahead of time. And so we want to look for those places and help people to step into those places. Ephesians 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immortality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And I love this passage because it just reminds me of what are the character qualities that I want a leader. So when I'm starting to move down that funnel, I want someone that I'm going to put in a leadership role, different than a volunteer role, because I'm down in that funnel, someone who really loves the Lord and someone who wants to serve because they love the Lord. Now, I want them to serve with me because they love me, but I also want them to serve... I mean, and that's easy, right? I can find people who have chemistry with me. And sometimes I want to build a team with people who are fun for me to be with. But when I do that, they're looking for something for me. And when the growing is getting, when ministry gets tough, when things aren't working well, things fall apart. And so you want leaders, when you're moving down in that funnel, when you're taking people from being a volunteer to being a leader, you want to look for people who have the qualities where they're doing it because of their relationship with the Lord is strong, and they're called and committed to expanding the kingdom. Because that anchors us, right? So before I move someone into a leadership position, my first thing is I give them the opportunity, and I talk about what it is. I always give them a description, and I try and do it in writing, of what it is I'm asking for them. This is what I'm asking of you. Will you be willing to step into this leadership position? This is what it requires. And a lot of times people, they're excited to be on a team with us because they want to be close to the pastors on staff. So they want to just say yes. And I won't let them say yes. And I love when they do this. No, 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 I don't even have to pray about it. I'm just going to say yes. I'm like, no, 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 no. You can't do that. Because I know there's going to be a time when you're going to need to look back and remember that God said for you to do this thing. And that's the reason that you serve. That's the reason you should. So I always want, and if it's a married couple, I always want a leader, when they're stepping into a leadership role, to pray with their spouse about it. Because if the spouse doesn't want them in this role, it's only going to create tension as they begin serving. Because serving, we know, takes time. So as we create these different levels for volunteers to play in, as we create different leadership volunteer levels. The other thing you notice is that some people are called to lead one thing. They're called to lead a small group, which is phenomenal. And we're gonna take that leader and we're gonna engage them at where we see them for that role. What happens at this level is you'll also see leaders begin to emerge that can be leaders of leaders. Sometimes we call them coaches if we're in a ministry that has a lot of community groups or life groups. So you're really looking. So what I'm always doing is I'm always looking for leaders. I know everybody can volunteer, but my radar as I move through this funnel is looking for the leaders of leaders, because those are the people that I want to equip to do ministry. Because there's a huge multiplication impact that happens when I'm working with leaders of leaders. Now I'm always, you know, you're always doing all of it to get down into that funnel where you're getting at that place. So you're creating different levels and different opportunities. I'll never forget, I had a leader who I thought was a leader of leaders, and I put her in a leader of leader roles, and she just crumbled because she was really a leader, which is wonderful. And she was designed to do one big thing, not carry people of multiple big things. And I love when I make that mistake, because it always reminds me to slow down, make sure I know who I'm putting into different roles. One of the things that we do that's challenging, I think, is we always ask all of our leaders to sign a leadership covenant. And in that leadership covenant, it holds the standards of what it is that we believe and how we live it out. So it's easy to sign the covenant that says what we believe, but now let's move into how we live it out. We need leaders that are willing to live above reproach. Not that they're sinless, because none of us are sinless, but they're working at holding the values of the church and what that looks like. So we get to have great conversations about things on Facebook, things in, you know, where did you take your small group after your prayer and fasting? You went to a bar. Like, was that really a good idea? Should you really date someone in a group? I mean, these are all real life conversations. And I think as leaders, we can't shy away from having those conversations. But I don't want to have that conversation unless I have, before I'm in it, walk through the conversation of this is what is expected. So this is what I'm asking you to step in to do as a leader. Will you pray about it before you say yes? This is a time commitment and this is a time duration. I'm asking you to step into this role for 2 years, because the first year you're going to get your feet under you, and the second year you're going to look for your replacement. And these are the qualifications of being a leader. Do you believe in what we believe? And are you willing to live maybe differently than you live? Maybe sometimes people don't even know that we strive to live differently. So you're having great conversations. And when you have those conversations before they're in leadership, then when you get to go to them in leadership, it makes the conversation different. If there's a conversation that we've had to take people out of leadership positions, we've had to ask them to step aside because they're just in a season where they're not living in a way that allows us to keep them in that leadership role. We also, at the same time, are having conversations with them when things aren't going right. Because we want to really love and develop our people. We want to give them honest feedback. Wow, that was a great job, Trisha. But, you know, when you said you'd show up, you'd show up on Sunday and put those toys away, we really needed you to. And that would have been a great opportunity for a leader to have learned what was going on in her life instead of her feeling like, I'm just not going to show up, they don't need me. So how do we create those conversations? How do we look? I always love to, when I'm looking for leaders, I'm looking for, do I have chemistry with them? I want to lead with someone I like to be with, because we spend a lot of time together. I want to know that they have the capability, the character, and the capacity. So character we've hit on, chemistry is easy. Do they have the capability? I mean, sometimes you can have the capability, but not the capacity. So you can't scale on one of these. I think a lot of times we'll scale at chemistry. We'll put way more emphasis on chemistry than capacity. But we really need to look at all of those to make sure that we're looking for what it is we need. And as we're doing that, these are all ways that we develop leaders, because we're sharing this with them at the same time. And then lastly, we move to equipping them. And that looks different depending on what the role is that we're asking them to do, right? So what is it that we're asking them to do? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more, abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." One of the things I always camp on in equipping people is prayer. Prayer is the number one tool that I use in equipping people in ministry. But as we equip people, we want to help them to build ministry around, we want to build ministry around leaders of leaders. So we want to empower people. I can remember when I was in the business world, the joy I had of leaving work to come to church to be in a leadership role. And I think we forget that. The longer we're on staff, the more we forget what an incredible blessing it is to our people to be a part of the work of their church. And we need to give them that opportunity. I think sometimes we look at our best people and we think, oh, they're too busy. There's no way they can do that. I recently called a doctor on our staff who, you know, he's a specialist, he's a doctor, he's a dad of three. He is amazing. And my first thought is, I needed something that I knew specifically he'd be excellent at. My first thought is, he's amazing, but I'm pretty sure he's too busy. And when I think that, I rob him of the ability of being involved in his church. It's so much better that I would call him and give him the opportunity to tell me, no, I'm too busy. And you know what I love when I called him? Absolutely. I would be honored to serve my church in that way. And so when I looked at him and I, you know, how do we build and create space for those top level leaders? And how do we build ministry around leaders of leaders? He's a leader of leaders. I mean, he is amazing. We have so many amazing people in our churches, and we think they're too busy, so we don't call them. And when we pull them in, we get amazing things that happen. I'm always looking, as I said, for those leaders of leaders, someone who can lead multiple others. When you find them, they're your greatest gift. They're not that easy to find. But you start by your leaders. When you watch your leaders, they'll naturally start having characteristics that you can see they can do more. They can do more. Okay, so finding those leaders and then equipping them. Work to empower people and turn leaders loose. I think one of the other things when we fall into scarcity is we want to hold on to ministry so it's done just the way we want. I want that room set up just the way I want. Oh, it's not set up the way I want. I shouldn't have let that leader do it. We've got to let go of ministry. We've got to empower other people. We've got to turn over, give them the vision, give them the values, and let them create it. And trust that God's working with them to do it, and it's going to look different. I tell myself that all the time. It's okay when it looks different. Most of the time. Every once in a while, it's not okay when it looks different. And when it messes up, I generally have to ask myself first, where did I screw up? I probably didn't give that leader the right information to succeed. So I first will always look at myself. But we need to work to empower people and turn leaders loose. Allow leaders to lead vision, not tasks. That's so important. It is so easy in a busy world to give a leader a list of tasks. Can you do these 15 things on Sunday? Instead of giving them the vision. This is why we do it. And the values of how we do it. And why those things make sense. So a couple other things that we specifically do at Mariners is we do create rotating leadership teams. And I think that's really important so that we don't burn people out. Another thing we do is we start developing leaders before we need them. So part of what the funnel is starting with all volunteers. So when you come to Mariners, you're put in a serving situation from the beginning when you go through Rooted at weeks 6 and 7. But beyond that, we just have open places where we're developing leaders before we need them. So we have a 9-week leadership program called Impact. And so anybody can sign up for it, and we don't know who's going to come. That's what's so interesting to us. It's new, and we're like, well, who's going to come? And what is fascinating is when you don't know everyone in your church, but you know that there's leaders, how do you meet them? So we created this in a way to create a funnel to bring in leaders that we could train them, we could get to know them. There's no guarantee what we're going to do with them. We just want to develop them in our vision, in our values, and in our culture of who we are. And then as we go along the way, we find out where God would like to place them, and we move them into those places all around the church. We do the same thing with our associate elder training program, where we, as staff, we recommend potential elders to our associate elder training program. And so all different couples come in, and they go through this 8-month process learning who we are, our vision, our values, our DNA. Who are we, and how do we do it? And then we maintain relationships with them. And so what that's doing is it's continuing to infuse between those two ministries who we are, what we do, and how we do it. We always want to focus on, and I'm going to go, I know we started a little bit late, but I want to try and end on time, so I'm going to speed through these last couple. We know our culture. These are kind of our core competencies. You know, we want leaders who are living the same way we live. We want them to, we want to know that they're walking with God daily. We want them to know that we value doing service with excellence. We want them to know that we love and respect each other and that we value teamwork. We want them to know that we want to have a learning spirit, and we want to anticipate the future. It's okay to change things. We don't want to have sacred cows. We want to have things that change and things that are different. We want them to know that we're spiritual leaders building fun teams that multiply and develop leaders. We have fun with our leaders. And I think that's something that we do as a staff is we play together. And because we play together as a staff, we tend to play and do fun things with our leaders. And then at the end of the day, we still get the job done. We consistently deliver results. So these are things that we talk about with our leaders because we want them to understand what those things are. The community you create with your leaders is what ought to overflow into the rest of your ministry. Culture is more important than vision. What are you creating? What do you want to create? What do you want it to look like? Where are you investing? How are you carrying on what the ministry is that your church is about?
So as we close, as we're talking about equipping, I think it's good to think about what fears do you have when you consider releasing ministry to volunteers? Because I think back at oftentimes when I was holding something too tight, it was because I was, you know, fearful of giving all, or I was worried that my boss wasn't going to be happy, and so I felt like I needed to control the outcome. What are the things that you are fearful of that sometimes make it difficult for you to develop people at that level, at the equipping level? And so as you leave, we wanted to just have you guys think about what are some practical next steps? For some of you, maybe you were like, you know what, I need to focus on this expose, the wide end of the funnel. I don't have enough opportunities for people to step in. I need to think about how to expose people to serving in different ways. Or maybe it's enfolding. Maybe you have a lot of people, but they don't really feel a part of the team. What questions do you need to do? How do you sit down with people that are volunteering in your ministry? Maybe it's engaging. Are you engaging with your volunteers? Possibly, maybe it's the equipping. How could you define maybe that culture that you want to create? Who are some great people? I love this question. Who are one or two people, maybe that even God brought to mind this afternoon, that you could hand over just a significant part of your ministry that have shown those four C's to you and they're ready to take that next step? And so as we finish, we just want to pray for you. We know that a ministry can be challenging. We know that volunteers can sometimes be challenging. But I love that even today where we were talking about some stuff going on and we were like, but God is on the throne doing awesome things. How wonderful it is that we get to have that opportunity to invite people to be a part of all that God's doing. And sometimes we need to be reminded that God's called each of us for this time and this purpose to invite those people in so that they can experience the thrill of volunteering and being a part of his kingdom work. So let me pray for you, and then we'll be around if there's any questions. And then also, we've got information here about our Rooted material. We've got some sample packs too. Shelly's doing a lunch.
We're doing a lunch on Thursday in the upper room after the conference ends. If that's something you're interested in, is a new way of doing discipleship, there's some samples here, and then there are invitations to the lunch if you're interested.
We've got about 100 and how many churches across the nation that are?
We have about 3 churches okay. across the nation.
Awesome. So it's great. All right, let me pray. Lord Jesus, oh, we thank you so much for the way that you are working in these churches. God, as we talk about the kingdom work and the things that are happening in our communities and in our churches, Lord, we are grateful. And God, I thank you so much for these leaders that you have already called. God, that they are passionate, they are excited. Lord, you have given them a vision to impact the church and the communities in which they serve. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to empower them. Lord, would you continue to advance the work that they are about, Lord? Would you use them to invite people into ministry? Lord, would you use them to come alongside people that are just wanting to be asked? Or, Lord, that have gifts and talents and passions that would do amazing things for your kingdom, but they just haven't found their place yet to serve. And so, Lord, would you use these people, Lord, to call people into ministry, to enfold them into the ministries that are going on, Lord, to equip other people. And so, God, would you use the gifts that they have? Lord, would you use things that you have put into their mind today to continue to call people into volunteering? And, Lord, what an awesome privilege it is to just be in a front row seat of what you are doing in our churches. And God, help us to bring many people to sit beside us, to be a part of the things you're doing. And so God, thank you for this group. Thank you for these men and women who are serving you so faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.